So good to see everyone. May God's peace be with you. On this July 4th weekend, I was thinking, what kind of message should I bring to SFCC? And I thought, it's on this weekend we celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ. And I'm thinking, how about the church? Jesus Christ has set us free to do what He has intended for us to do. So I'm going to ask this question. What is God's plan for us, the church? What is God's plan for SFCC? Now, I'm going to speak from the book of Ephesians. And I know you guys have been through this book already, so this will be kind of a review. That God's plan is not just for individuals, but God's plan is for a group of people, a community of His people, that's you and I. And He has a special plan and purpose. He wants to work in and through us. And today we're going to see God's plan for the church, how He wants the church, you and I, to function, how He wants it to grow. So with that in mind, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Why don't we all stand and read the Word of God together? Verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The word of the Lord. Let me be seated. So what does the Almighty God, the head of the church, want us to do? Want us, the church, want to tell us through this passage? So if you would take out your bulletin, write this down. Number one, each member, that's you and I, each member is called and uniquely gifted to build up the body. Each one of us is called and uniquely gifted to build up the body. Look at verse 12. It says, God's intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. So look at this verse carefully. Question, who should do the work of ministry? Who should do the visitations, the serving, and the caring of one another? Whose job is it? Pastor Walt, right? Oh, no, no. Okay, this passage tells us it's the saints. That's you. That's every one of you. So God's called you to do the work of ministry because all of us, it says, each member is a minister. And look at verse 16. From Him, that's Jesus, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. God, in His sovereign plan, designed His church to be built up by you. Each one of you. And you have been called by the Almighty God to serve, to build up His church. And if you're like me, you're thinking, oh, you feel so inadequate. You feel like, oh, I can't do it. You feel insecure. But God wants us to know that when He calls us to do something, and He calls us to build up His church, when He calls us to do something, He will give us everything that we need to fulfill that calling. Look at verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Again, to each one of us, that's you. Each one of you have a very special gift. And like the message Scott gave and Jeremy, it's the same message. God has given us a special gift, a spiritual gift, the supernatural ability that comes directly from God. And in the when we're using our spiritual gifts, every one of us have spiritual gifts from God. And when we are using our spiritual gift, it's kind of like the lifeblood of the church. It's as if we're feeling God's power working in us, flowing out of us. And as we're doing it and we're working together, it's as we're building Christ's body. You know, God is so wise. He did not give one person with all the gifts, but He's given us, each one of us, different gifts so that we can work together in one. And the Ephesians, the book of Ephesians uses the metaphor of the body, a human body. It says some are like eyes, some are like hands, some are like feet, and we need to work with each other, and everyone is special, and everyone is unique. And I know, I don't know if I gave this illustration before. It's kind of like I'm up here speaking, and I'm feeling really thirsty, right? And the whole body is feeling that thirst. And so my brain's saying, can somebody go get water? And there's a cup of water right there. So the elbow responded. Elbows goes, we can do it. We can do it. We can get that water. We can get that water into the body. So the elbow goes. I know I can do this. Okay, I practiced this already. So the elbow goes and picks up the cup of water. Can I? Okay. But while I'm doing this, you know what? My legs, they go, hey, we're pretty strong. We're stronger than you. We could do it. We could do it. So the leg goes over, leg wants to do it. And so while the elbows and the legs are getting into it, my hand goes, hey, what are you doing? And the elbows and the leg looked at that and says, oh my goodness, that's a work of art. How did you do that? You were made to do that. I know that's a stupid illustration, but that's the point. The point is, we all take it for granted, is God has made certain parts of the body for something, but so often the hand goes, no, the elbows can do it. The elbows goes, no, maybe the legs because they're stronger, right? And the beauty of diversity in the body. God has given each one of us special gifts, special passion, and things that we have a burden for. And it resonates. When something comes up, it resonates with the body. The body wants to jump in. Different parts wants to do the work. And this is the beauty of diversity. In our family, Julie is the math expert. Okay, she studied math in college and in grad school. I didn't know there's so much to study with math, but she spent a lot of time studying math, and she's the math expert, and she's been a math tutor for many, many years. Now, our girls are growing up, and they are doing Kumon. Anybody know Kumon? Yeah? So Julie, she, you know, when it comes to math, Julie's the one that's working with them, and it wouldn't be right for me to jump in and try to do this because I don't even know where to start. But Julie's perfect for that. But when it comes to tennis, that's my part, right? I jump in, right? When you're given a gift, a particular passion, you don't need to be asked. You want to do it. When there's a need comes up, you want to do it because you have a special burden for it. And God has created each one of us different passion, different gifts to build up His body. And when a part is not done right and you have a gift and passion for it, you can't help it. You feel awkward sitting right there watching the elbows, watching the legs doing it, when your hands like, hey, I could do that. Let me do that. Can you imagine? Look at this slide. This guy, Howard Schultz, right? Can you imagine his wife telling their guests, sorry, we only have water here. We can't afford coffee in our house. No way, right? How about this next guy? Some of you might know this guy, Bill Gates. Can you imagine his kids going to school? Says, teacher, we're sorry. We could not finish the computer homework you gave us because we didn't have access to computer. No way, right? Now, they may not be perfect people, but when it comes to coffee, when it comes to computers, they make sure their family have access to them. Now, my point is this. This is family, right? This is God's church. This is family. When there is a need, we jump in, right? When God's given us a gift and talent and passion, we jump in. We says, God, that's why I'm here. I'm here to serve the body, to help the body, to build up the body. Can you imagine what would happen if every one of us here in this room, no matter how young, no matter what you, every one of us here in this room uses his gift and talents to his or her full potential. Can you imagine what would happen to our church if all of us fully utilizes our gifts and talents that's given us by God? And God is so wise. He has making us, each one of us, so special. Yes, some are more vocal, some are more shy. Some are up front, some work in the background. If we could all work together and we could sing the songs that we sing, thank you for making me, me, exactly the way you wanted me to be, and help me to be faithful to you. What's God's plan for His church? Number two, the purpose of giftings is for life change. We're talking about spiritual gifts. The purpose of all these things is for life change. And let me highlight some verses for you. Ephesians 4:12-16. He says, now look at this passage carefully. To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And here he goes, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That means becoming more Christ-like. Then we will no longer be infants. We will no longer be immature. Instead, speaking the truth in love, that we will in all things grow up. That means changing to be more mature. Into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, again, grows, that's maturing and changing, and builds itself up in love. Each part does its work. The message is so clear. Why do we do all these things? So that we can all grow. The body can grow and mature and be changed to be more like Christ. The purpose of spiritual gift is so that we can help one another to grow in the Lord. What's the purpose of the church? We don't measure the success of the church by how good the programs, right? The programs are for the church. We don't measure the success of the church by the size of the church, but we measure the success of the church by whether the members are working together, helping each other, loving one another, helping each other to grow. See, the question is, are the members growing in the Lord? If the members are growing in the Lord, if all of us are changing to be more like Christ, well, that is a good church. That is the church of God. God never calls us to be a busy church. Some churches are so busy, and it's just wrong. Some churches believe that if the leadership believes, if we could get everybody to do something, get everybody busy, then it appears that everybody's busy, involved in something. Well, that doesn't mean anything. God never calls us to be the busy church, but He calls us to be the fruitful church. The fruitful church. That's what it's all about. I love this verse, verse 13. It says, until we, that's all of us, all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When all of us are growing and maturing the way God wants us to, then what happens is that the world looks at the church and they see the full measure of Christ. They see the presence of Christ on this earth, which is our goal. So the emphasis is not on how gifted you are, how gifted I am, how big is the church, how big is our program, but are we changing? Are the members growing year after year? Are we transforming to be more like Christ year after year? Which brings us to the last point. How does God plan on bringing about real change in our lives? Verse 16. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and built itself up in love. Now look at this verse very carefully. It says, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. That's you and I, right? Joined together, all of us working together. Grows, it says grows. That's changing. We're changing, transforming. How? How does God choose to change us, His body? How does God intend to transform us when you and I build itself up in love, as each part does its work? Do you see that? How does God plan on changing us as each part, each one of us loves one another? In order for us to grow in the fullness of Christ, we cannot achieve this without genuine love for one another. I want us to look at a few passages here. Chapter 3, verses 18. Same thing in Ephesians. Here it says, we may have power to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. How? Together with all the saints. Right? Did you see that? How we can grasp how high, how wide, how deep is the love of Christ by together with all the saints. Now look at these next passages. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Let's see a pattern here. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. In love. And then verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, that we will in all things grow up into Him in love. And then verse 16. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. How does God intend for us to bring about life change in the body of Christ? It's that we can love one another. Love one another. And I know that we talk about love a lot in the body, right, in our church. And I know that we all, and this is the key, we all think We all think that we are very loving people. We're loving individuals. So I'm going to put it in this way. Okay, number three, how does God plan on changing His church? Real change comes about by relating deeply in love. Relating to one another deeply in love. We cannot be the way God wants us to be without deeply relating to one another in love. It's not enough for us to come to church, to worship God, to hear God's message, sing songs, give to the church, say hi to people, greet one another, go home, and expect change to happen. Real change comes about when we are able to apply the Word of God into our everyday life where we love one another deeply. Just like the early Christians in the book of Acts. I mean, talk about how their lives are always intertwined, right? They're always doing things, some kind of things together, and they're always in each other's life, meeting each other's needs, to the point that they sold their possessions and then they share money with one another. Can you believe selling your cars out there and then distribute the money to those in need? Now, one of the verses we read earlier about speaking in love, right? Speaking the truth in love. There is no way that we can speak the truth unless we are deeply connected with one another. Unless our lives are so enmeshed together, we're living lives together, we're so intimate where we can speak the truth in love. We cannot confess our sins to one another. The Bible says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. How can we confess our sins to one another if we're only relating to one another deeply? In a very shallow way, surfacey level, where we come to church, say hi to people, greet people. But we need to relate to one another in a way, in a deep level, where we build that environment for us to be able to speak the truth and to confess our sins to one another. We must pay the price whatever it takes for us to foster that deep and intimate friendship and relationship. And this is so hard because we live in a culture that does not encourage us to do that. I was just talking to someone. I called that person. I said, "Yeah, you didn't answer my email, so I decided to call you." And that person was so shocked. That person said, "You know, this is how we used to do life, when we would talk to one another. When we would talk to one another instead of just shooting emails back and forth, when we would sit down and spend some time, quality time together, instead of emailing each other or tweeting each other, right? Really short phrases. Where you don't even need to go shopping these days. You can shop online. And you talk to people, you get, right, voicemails, and people become more and more isolated. I was thinking about my house. You know, it's beautiful house. We love everything about it, and it's new development. But the amazing thing is, new developments these days, houses are built so closely to one another. Have you noticed that? Only a few feet apart. Hey, that's good, right? That's a good thing, because we could be a very close community, right? No, that's not true. Because when you move in, when people move into their houses, what's the first thing that they do? They build fences around their house. Have you noticed that? They like to build fences. They like to be private. isolation. This culture does not encourage us to build relationships deeply, to interact deeply. Not only that, people are always transitioning, moving from one place to another. I know at my church right now, many, many people are leaving Microsoft to go to Google. Sorry, Microsoft people. They're going to Google, and they're moving down to Orange County. It's amazing. People are transitioning. It's no big deal. People are always looking for new jobs, new challenges. And people say, pastoring in the church, in the city, and this, you know, pastoring in the city is kind of like pastoring a parade. Hey, how are you doing? And people just, hey, good. And they just keep moving, keep marching. Hey, hey. And then people keep moving, keep marching on. That's the culture that we live in. It does not foster that environment where we could grow and connect deeply with one another, where we could build meaningful relationships. Not to mention how busy we tend to be. Have you noticed that we, when you appear that you're not busy and you don't keep your schedule really full, you have a way, you think to yourself, oh, everybody's so busy. Why am I not doing, things right? Is there something wrong with my life where my schedule's not packed? And so we have a tendency to keep filling our schedule with all these things. We keep ourselves so busy. But then I think of the early Christians in the book of Acts. They did not have anything. They did not have microwave. They did not have washers and dryers, dishwashers. They did not have all the refrigerator. Everything they do they did from scratch, right? So they're always doing something. They're always busy, but yet they had time. The Bible says to meet. Never gave up meeting one another. They were always in each other's life. They were always doing something together, meeting each other's needs, ministering to one another, praying together. See, life to life to them was a priority. That's the way God has intended for us to do life. Spiritual maturity. If we want to grow in Christ, it cannot happen in isolation. Spiritual maturity comes when we are deeply in one another's lives. That's God's plan for His church. Yes, God can do everything, but look at this quote. I love this quote. C.S. Lewis puts it like this: Christ works on us in all sorts of ways, but above all, He works on us through each other. How does God change us? Yes, He could change us just like that. He could change us just by reading the Bible, coming to church, but He says He chooses to work on us most of all through one another. That's God's plan for the church. When we go running, when we go jogging, you want to quit. But when you have a partner to run with, you keep going, right? You run together. And when you go work out, when you lift weights, you know, when it comes time when you say, oh, this is about all I could take, then you give up. But when you have a spotter, what happens? Give me two more! I know you can do it! Two more! Push! Come on! So he pushes you, stretches you to the next level. I love this quote. When you run alone, you run fast. But when you run with others, you run far. And the Christian journey is a marathon. We need to run, not just fast, but we need to run really far. How the evil one longs for us to go through this Christian journey, struggling on our own. We're struggling, living defeated lives in isolation. We're struggling, but we come to church. Hey, how are you doing? Good. Good. How are you doing? Good, good. Okay, see you next Sunday then, right? Everything's good. Everything is cool when deep down inside, all of us are suffering. All of us are struggling. That's nothing new. But God says, come together. Let's develop, foster those intimate relationships where we can really minister to one another at that level. That's where life change happens. God wants to do great things in and through His church. God has a purpose for His church, but we cannot be the kind of church He has intended for us to be if we just continue to relate to one another at a very shallow level. But we must go deeper, and we must do whatever it takes to foster that kind of relationship where we can share deeply, where we invite others to come into our lives, which takes vulnerability, coming to our lives and minister to each other in a deep level. May God help us, each one of us, to step up and use our gifts and talents. And may God help all of us to be vulnerable and challenge us to take that step where He says, you know what? I'm going to be the first one to admit this is my struggles. And I struggle with this. And I need you to pray for me. Hey, I'm really struggling with my marriage. We haven't been doing too well. In fact, it's been years. Can you pray for me? Can you keep me accountable? Hey, I'm really struggling in this area. I just can't help. I just feel like I'm doing well in all areas of my life. But when it comes to these websites, I just can't stop myself. And when I'm tired, can you help me? Can you give me a call at this time of the day where I really need help? And we start to share these things and keep each other accountable and pray for one another, confess our sins to one another, bear one another's burden as God wants us to. May God help us. May God help SFCC to be the church that He's intended it to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that Your message is what we all need to hear. No matter where we're at in our spiritual walk, Lord, we need to be reminded, Lord, that we need to be vulnerable. That in order for real change, life change, transformation to take place, we need to connect and relate to one another deeply. Heavenly Father, help us, whatever it takes, help us to do that. Help us, Lord, not to fool ourselves in thinking that we're loving when we have so few deep, intimate friendships. Help us not to fool ourselves in thinking that we're spiritually mature when we're not willing to be vulnerable and open up our lives to one another. Lord Jesus, we pray that You would help us, challenge us to take that step of faith. May all of us do whatever it takes to foster the kind of relationship that You want for us in the church, in Your body, where we can relate deeply to one another, care for one another, build one another up in love. Help us to do that. Help us to have one purpose, one mind, one voice to glorify Your name. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.